Hey, race fans, welcome to the Hoobazoo Radio Network, and welcome to a special after-hours edition of Drafting the Circus. My name is Frank Santoroski. I'm joined by Luis Torres and Seth Eggert from Motorsports Tribune. We have a special guest in the studio tonight. We have Lieutenant Jesse Iwuji, who is running the NASCAR K&N and the ARCA series this year. Jesse, pleased to have you on the show. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, and thank y'all so much for having me on the show.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So, you know, we get a lot of race car drivers on here, a lot of young guys, and we like to talk about what got them into racing. And the story's always kind of the same. You know, my dad bought me a shifter cart when I was 5, or I was in a Legends car when I was 9. But as I look at your bio, I mean, you were a standout high school athlete in both track and field and football. You're a great academician. You got accepted to the Naval Academy. You played football for the midshipmen. Active duty in the U.S. Navy. You served a tour serving our country over in the Persian Gulf. There's like nothing in here that says this guy's going to end up in NASCAR. So I'm just kind of wondering where that racing influence crept up in all those other great things that you've accomplished.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. It's definitely a different story for sure. You know, I didn't grow up racing. I had to go off and do some important things like serve the U.S. government and the country and, do some great things like that. But, that's kind of how I did it. But, you know, my whole life I've always had a passion for cars. I've always had a passion for racing. And I never really thought that I was actually going to do it. But, you know, as I got a little bit older, you know, once I got into college and then once I graduated college, I kind of grew a little bit closer to it. My interest grew. I was like, man, I want to kind of try this stuff, you know. And, you know, I had a Dodge Challenger and a Corvette that I used to take to different tracks like drag strips and road course open track days and just had fun with those cars there. And after doing that a bunch of times, you know, like especially with my Corvette, you know, I would go to open track days and, you know, there'd be 100 to 150 cars there and I'd always be like somewhere in the top 10 in speed, you know, just and it wasn't ever a race, but, you know, they'd still time everyone's laps and I always have, you know, somewhere in the top 10 of the laps. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm fairly decent, you know, so, you know, I'd like to take it to the next level. And once I made that decision, I think I was sitting in my room in San Diego at that time at home, and I walked up to my whiteboard that I had on my wall, and I wrote on there, I was like, goal, I was like, become a professional race car driver. And at that point, I knew nothing of what to do, where to go, where I was going to race, nothing. I was just like, become a professional race car driver. And that's when the journey started. So then I went to my laptop and started doing the research. Okay, what are different series out there? All right, there's NASCAR, there's IndyCar, there's different sports car series. Okay, what does it take to be on these teams? I started researching. Okay, boom, I started learning. It takes a lot of money. I started learning, you know, it takes a lot of seat time. I started learning that, there's some series have different ladders you can take. By doing all this research and putting it in notes and then focusing a lot of energy and effort towards trying to figure out a way to get into this. And then through doing that, you know, the universe started opening up doors for me. And one of them was I met a guy who was, his name is Kyle Wisner, and he was late model racing at Irwindale Speedway. I met him at a car show, and he said that with my goals of what I want to do and start racing, he said I should try stock car racing. I'm like, NASCAR? And he's like, yeah. So I went and did a late model test with him. It went well. I went on deployment for 5 months to the Arabian Gulf. During that time, anytime I had free time, I started devising a crazy plan of how I was going to make it happen. And that plan was I was looking for sponsors. So every day I was sending out multiple emails trying to figure that out and get in contact with sponsors. And the other part of it was I was going to start my own business so I could make some extra money on the side to pay for my racing. And the business actually ended up being what prevailed a lot for that first year of racing in 2015. And then also I had a sponsor that helped me out a lot too. So through what I learned trying to look for sponsors and through what I learned starting my business, I learned all that stuff literally sitting on the ship in the Arabian Gulf during my free time and applied that in 2015 and it worked. And that's what really got me into racing.
I mean, that's fantastic story that you just sit and said, okay, how can I do this? You know, that's pretty neat. Now, you are 30 years old now, is that correct? And you've got guys 19 years old that are in top cup cars, like your William Byrons and whatnot. Do you feel like that's put you a little behind the curve? Because, you know, NASCAR in general seems to have transitioned to more of a young guy sport. Or do you still feel that that there are opportunities out there for somebody that started a bit later?
Yeah, there's definitely opportunities still. I don't think that prohibits me at all. I mean, I think, you know, with my background and what I've been doing, I think a lot of people understand. Like, you know, I didn't just, like, jump into racing, you know, this late, you know, just because I just happened to be late. It's more because I had some other bigger, greater things to do in life, which was, you know, surf. You know, I was in the Navy. I was going on deployment. You know, that was bigger and that was a lot more important. And then once I finally had free time from that, then that's when I decided to jump into racing. So I don't think that puts me behind the curve. Yeah, there's the younger guys who are doing it, but at the end of the day, NASCAR is not like football. It's not like basketball, where age really affects your performance like that. I don't think until you really get probably about 50 years old before I think it really even starts making any kind of difference. So yeah, it's not that. You know, in football, you know, once you get to like over 35 or so, it gets a little bit harder to be fast. You know, it gets a little bit harder to hit. You know, it gets a little bit harder to throw the football more accurate. You know, all that stuff. So, in NASCAR, a driver is a driver. Like, if you're a good driver at age 19, you're a good driver at age 30, you're a good driver at age 40, you'll be a good driver forever, you know? It's not a thing that just goes away. Yeah, I don't think it's, you know, something that's going to hurt me. And if you look at it, really, I think a lot of the fans don't really truly care about age. I think it's only really the sport that's really putting the emphasis on it, but the fans don't. Like, if you look at all the fans, there's no one that says, man, we need some younger drivers in the sport. No, most fans, most kids, even who are fans too, I mean, their favorite drivers, you know, aren't always the younger ones. Their favorite drivers are, you know, Kevin Harvick. Their favorite drivers are Clint Bowyer. All those folks who are a lot older, you know, so the fans don't care about age. You know, they want somebody that they like, you know, and they enjoy watching the race. And at the end of the story, it doesn't matter what their age is.
Awesome. Now, Seth, you've got a question?
Yeah, continuing this line of experience versus youth, Jesse, you had told me when I interviewed you at Charlotte that you spend just about every weeknight on iRacing, which is one way that some of the drivers use to learn tracks, to practice tracks, to get seat time. How much of that translates to the real world?
It helps a lot. You know, iRacing does a really good job of making a simulator very realistic. So the more time you can spend on there, you know, getting used to different tracks, your marks, and how to drive certain tracks, and what the car is going to feel like, it's going to help a lot. You know, this weekend we'll be racing at Sonoma Raceway. I spent, you know, a bunch of hours on the simulator this week just getting ready for that so I could learn the line, so I could be consistent with where I was putting the car on the track. And that's going to, you know, really help out a lot when I get to race day or even practice, because I'll be ready already. I'll be like, okay, you know, I've been here, done this, you know, 75 laps already this week. So let me do it right again. But, I think it helps out a lot, and it can help close the gap a little bit on experience to a certain extent. You can't just gain all the experience in the world from it. It just helps you learn a little bit of racecraft, helps you learn the line a little bit, helps you learn your marks, familiarization, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it doesn't give you the same speed sensation. It doesn't give you the same G-forces that you feel on track. It doesn't give you all that feeling stuff. So, you know, being on track is always the best way to get the most experience, but simulator stuff does help.
Okay, now, Luis, you've got a question as well?
Yeah, it's a bit of it. You, speaking of Sonoma, you mentioned that track time is everything. Of course, you brought up the simulation. When it comes to the race course, you ran it a couple of times, and you had, if I recall, a top 15 down there. Last year, it was a bit of a short afternoon. What are your expectations down there at Sonoma? Granted, the experience is very slim, knowing that down at K&N and ARCA, road racing is very slim. It's just like in general with stock cars.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely looking forward to trying to have a good run this weekend. So, yeah, last year was a little bit short just because the motor blew up like 6 laps into the race. We were, I think, coming out of turn 4 or so, and, you know, literally I was getting on the gas, and it's feeling all right, then all of a sudden it just limps, and then that was it. So we were like, trying to figure out what happened, and I don't know, something ended up happening, but I can't remember. But anyways, that ended our day short. Yeah, the first year, finished top 15. Wasn't as fast as I really wanted to be, but in the day, you know, with it being my first time on the road course, my first year racing K&N, I just wanted to finish that race, not getting involved in any wrecks, don't break anything, and just make it through the day. And we did, you know, and we finished 15th. So, you know, this year my big thing is once again, my number one goal always is to finish the race. I want to get through, don't break, don't crash, don't spin, don't wreck, nothing, just finish clean. And then, you know, be just a little bit more competitive, be a little bit faster than we have in the past couple of years. And if we do all that together, it'll be a great weekend.
And speaking of the past couple of years, the past couple of years in K&N Pro, you've been running on a Bi-Supply tire. This year they transitioned to the radial tire. How has that transition been for you? Have you found it difficult? Was it a smooth transition?
Yeah, so a lot of people would say that, you know, the radial was a lot harder to drive on than the Bi-Supply and all that stuff. But honestly, I got to go back to the Bi-Supply and try it again, but I don't feel a major difference. I mean, maybe there is a little bit of difference. I feel this tire we've had this year has been better as far as longevity. Like, you could drive a lot of laps with it, and it actually had pretty good grip majority, like, throughout the whole race. You know, when you're on a good, solid track that's not very broken down or rugged, you know, the tires will last, you know, and at the end of the race, you know, you can still run pretty quick. So, I like it. It's been good. I'm glad we're on it, and I'm glad I'm getting to learn on it. But, yeah, it hasn't really affected me. We didn't jump on it. I didn't immediately feel like, oh, my God, this is, like, harder to drive. It just still felt okay. So, yeah, it's not too bad. And looking forward to jumping in it and running some laps on the road course now with it, you know, in my Perfect Hydration Chevrolet.
Now, speaking of the Perfect Hydration Chevrolet, if I'm correct looking at the entry list, are you driving for a different team this weekend?
Oh, that is the million-dollar question, isn't it? yeah, I'm driving on a different team this weekend. I'm driving with Matt Levine's race team, so the Levine Racing. They've been running K&N for a few years now. They got their own operation going, really kind of starting in 2016, and each year they've had some good success, you know, getting some good cars, building some good stuff, getting them set up right, and getting some good qualifying efforts and finishing efforts over the last couple of years or so. So, you know, I thought it would be a good move for me to jump on a team and try to, you know, progress a bit and get in some better equipment and just, you know, run better.
Now, you are part owner of Patriot Motorsports, where you're driving now. Now, you run a K&N and ARCA, so do you own both those cars, or do you have a couple of partners in there with you, and there's a rumor that you guys actually have a truck in your garage too?
Yeah, so there is a truck there for sure. I don't own anything there. I was just a car owner for one of the cars, and I think it's 2017, I can't remember. But I don't actually financially own anything. John Wood owns the whole team. I ran with them, you know, for the last 3 years. I'm now not running with them. I'm running with this new team. You know, they have some good stuff going on over there when it comes to bringing in new people who are trying to get into the sport and maybe don't have the biggest budget in the world, but have a little bit of money to try to get it going. And it's a great team to start off with when you're doing that. I just kind of got to a point where I needed to step up into a better situation just so I could get, you know, better results. That's all I'm looking for.
Oh, totally understandable. So now with your new situation, what is your remaining schedule for the rest of the season look like? Are you going to, like, fill in some blanks there? Are we going to see you more? Are we going to see less? More ARCA, more K&N?
For the rest of the season, right now really we're only aiming to do probably one more, or actually two more ARCA races. Chicago next weekend, and then Kansas at the end of the year, You know, once again, it won't be with Patriot Motorsports Group. This, you know, I'm pretty much split ways. Really, for the rest of the year, K&N wise, I'm aiming to do, you know, a lot of East races. Really, a lot of the remainder of the East races. So, you know, knocking that out should be pretty fun, pretty good, and a lot of big tracks. And you got Iowa, New Hampshire, Dover, you know, Gateway, all those fun places. So I'm looking forward to running all those tracks, and you know, looking forward to hopefully having some good results.
Now, when I interviewed you at Charlotte, you had told me you have gotten advice from Dale Jr. about how to be fan-friendly, how to be open with the fans, and also some advice as far as driving the car. Exactly what kind of advice was that, and how have you been embracing the advice he's given you?
Dale Jr. is an awesome person, you know, very approachable. And, you know, his big thing he was telling me was, man, just making sure, you know, get as much seat time as you can and the best quality equipment you can, and also focus on getting the right funding. At the end of the day, funding is huge. It's number one. You got to have the money to race. It's not free in any way, shape, or form. I know a lot of people like to think it is, but it's not. You don't just get thrown in a – you can be thrown in a car to drive for someone, but they will only do that if they have enough sponsorship funding coming in that maybe they brought in or something like that for the team. But if there is no sponsor for the car, a owner can only throw you in for so long before they can't do it anymore, because at the end of the day, it is a business and they cannot go bankrupt. So, you know, a lot of people think, oh man, you know, do this and someone will see you and throw you in a car. Well, it's hard. It doesn't work like that. You can't. It's too expensive. You can do that on maybe the teams that aren't the highest budget, because they can make it work with how their operation works. But on these bigger teams, when they're, you know, truck series teams spending 150 plus grand per race, you know, how can you throw a driver in for free? You know, somebody's eating that budget. The tires never came for free. The travel for the entire team and crew never came for free. The travel for the transport never came for free. All the guys at the shop, someone has to pay for all of that. And that owner can only do it himself for so long, or else they'll go bankrupt. So you got to bring the funding. So that's what he stressed, is make sure you get your funding right. Get the funding right. You get your funding right, you can stay in racing for a long time. If the money's not there, it's going to be very, very difficult.
When it comes to, for you personally, and as far as the couple years that you have racing experiences, you mentioned earlier about just trying to finish a race, especially on a road course. How, from a mental aspect as a driver, and also from your background, how do you generally approach those road races when you know you have to finish, you try to avoid all the carnages?
Yeah, I was saying the road courses, the big thing with those is, you know, you just really got to focus on, you know, make sure you hit all your marks. You stay on the asphalt and not in the grass. You know, you don't make aggressive moves too early. You know, it's a give and take. You know, if someone has it a little bit faster than you, maybe give a little bit, let them go. Or if you're faster than them and you can get by. But at the end of the day, it's 60-plus laps, and, you know, it's a long race. So if you can, they'll make a mistake eventually. Maybe if it's hard to get by them, just kind of sit right behind them, let them make the mistake so you can get by them. But you don't got to force any issue, because it can only just get you in a wreck or them in a wreck, or you name it. So at the end of the day, you got to make it to the end. So just be smart. You know, it's a long race. You know, even if you got to slow the pace down just a hair just to make sure you're hitting all your marks and you're shifting right properly and you're braking right and you're not wearing out the car, you know, do all that stuff. And at the end of the day, you'll be happy with the result.
All right, now, Jesse, I know we're racing guys and we love to talk racing, but I just want to turn the conversation to some of your off-track activities, because you have been a pretty positive guy. I mean, you represent the U.S. military in the most positive fashion that I've ever seen. You represent your race team in a quite a positive fashion. You represent yourself in quite a positive fashion. But there's a lot of stuff that you've done off the track, your charity-wise and philanthropic work, and I'd like to just give you the opportunity to kind of speak about that a little bit and tell us some of the things you're working on and how some of our listeners can maybe get involved if they like to.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. So, you know, one of the things I've been working with this year with BBMC Mortgage is we've been trying to bring awareness towards their Patriot Charity Initiative. Patriots Charity Initiative, they've raised over $2 million trying to help different veteran causes. They support a lot of different organizations that do support vets, like, you know, USO and so on. You know, the different causes or different issues that they try to address, like mental illnesses, PTSD stuff, you name it. They're just, you know, veteran homelessness. They're just there to help veterans and support veterans. So we've been running, you know, we've been trying to support, push that through social media. You know, we have the hashtag on basically all of our pictures that we post, just so people can ask the question, be like, hey, what's Patriots Charity Initiative? And I can go ahead and let them know, hey, this is what they do. It's a BBMC mortgage, you know, deal that they got going on where they're pushing to help support, you know, support, you know, fixing and helping and solving issues that are plaguing our veterans all over the country. So that's been pretty cool to be a part of. The last couple of years, I've done things with Phoenix Patriot Foundation and also 208 Cares and different charities where, you know, all of them are just veteran based, where they're just trying to help vets. So any way I can give back in that kind of way or bring awareness to whatever they're doing, whatever I can do, I try to help. You know, it's the least I could do. Because these guys have helped me out and supported me, so why not give back? And, you know, anytime I can help my fellow military friends, family, you name it, you know, I'll do it. So, yeah, that's kind of stuff I've been doing with that. And anytime I can inspire kids and help kids and be there for kids and motivate kids, I love doing that too. I don't work with any kids organizations directly, I would say. I mean, I do a little bit with some of the NASCAR initiatives that they have for kids, but there's no specific organizations I really truly work with all the time with kids. I just, when I see a kid, I try to help. That's all I do.
And again, that just falls into one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on the show, because you're such a positive role model for you know, not only, you know, vets and folks and maybe, you know, champion diversity for NASCAR, but you work so hard tirelessly all the time. And it's just enjoyable to watch your race, and I wish you all the success in the world. Now, I know we want to let you go because I don't want to take up a lot of your time. I know you've had a busy day, but before you go, would you just let our listeners know where we can find you on social media? And I know that you always have a lot of giveaways on social media too, so you folks are going to want to make sure you write this down.
Yeah, most definitely. So, you know, any folks wanting to follow, make sure they go on to jesseiwuji.com. That's JesseiWuji.com. Sign up for my VIP mailing list. It's right there in the middle of the page. Just put your email address in and then click subscribe. But yeah, big thing for me is if you type in my name on any social media platform, you'll see me on there. Make sure you follow my page, support everything we're doing, like every picture, share everything, comment on everything, send me messages whenever you have a question. I'm always there for people. Most people will know that I pretty much answer with like 99.9% of the messages that come through for me when it comes through my DMs. I can't answer every comment always because sometimes there's a lot of them, but if you send me a direct message, I will get back to it. Sometimes longer answers, sometimes shorter answers, but I will try to somehow get you some type of answer if you got a question. So, you know, I'm very reachable. A lot of people know. One of the few drivers to do that.
Jesse, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Appreciate it a ton. Thanks for talking to us. Hope you come back on again soon. Maybe you can come talk about your first win that's coming up soon. But until then, Jesse, I want to thank you for coming on. Folks, make sure to look him up on social media. Seth, Louise, thank you for joining me. I want to thank iHeartRadio, Hoobazoo Radio Network, and Spreaker. This is Drafting the Circuits. Good night.
Who? 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 Who?